This is Director Chris Rodriguez of the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and I want to welcome you to Season 2 of Intelligence Unclassified. This season, we are refocusing our episodes to better reflect NJOHSP's three core mission areas: counterterrorism, cybersecurity, and emergency preparedness. We'll be pulling both local and national experts in all these fields in an effort to discuss New Jersey's diverse threat landscape and to offer you a unique perspective on current homeland security trends and issues. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website, www.njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Hi, this is Rosemary Martirana from the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security, and today I'm here with our senior intel analyst, Angie Gadd, to discuss what we're seeing as it relates to the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Now, Andrew, we definitely talked about ISIS this year in our threat assessment. So let's just start by talking about, has ISIS had a pretty eventful year? And what are some of the most significant changes we've seen the group undergo in 2016?
Thanks, Rosemary. So this year has been definitely very eventful. We've seen the group lose about 43% of its territory. Figures are back and forth, but that's a pretty credible estimate. They lost a symbolic town called Dabiq or Dabiq. And we've seen them lose a lot of their leadership. So about 120 of ISIS's leaders have been killed this year, including their second in command and the chief of external operations, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani, and also their head of propaganda, who was Abu Muhammad al-Furqan. Additionally, we saw their propaganda output declined by about 75%, so that includes online media production to include videos, pictures, pictorials, etc. And then also their foreign fighter recruitment declined by around about over 90%. So we saw foreign fighters arrive in Syria to join the group at about 2,000 per month, and that decreased to about 50. And we haven't seen it really increase since.
So you're saying it's been a pretty rough year for ISIS?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So with these losses and setbacks, what do we think this means for the group, though? What are they going to be doing in 2017?
So a couple of things. Because of these mounting losses and setbacks, the group is really shifting back to its insurgency roots. And that being said, they're also shifting their propaganda. So when they were first kind of rising to power and at their peak, their mantra was remain and expand. So they wanted to continue remaining and expanding their territory. And the focus was all territory. Now we're seeing them change their propaganda a little bit and kind of say, well, we never really, not specifically saying that, but they're shifting it from a territory-oriented propaganda strategy to a more resistance narrative. And they're telling their fighters to not quit in the face of defeat, and that in order for us to win in the long term, we have to make sure that we are fighting the enemy today and there is an eventual triumph at the end. So they're promising their fighters and their supporters an ultimate victory. Additionally, we're talking about their insurgency roots, we're seeing a lot of parallels that the group is kind of undergoing today that they went through around 2006 to 2012. So the group also during that period lost about 11,000 of its fighters, and many of its leaders were either killed or jailed. So we're seeing that being replicated today. They're losing a lot of their fighters and leaders, and they kind of ended up being forced underground, and they had to kind of regroup, and they started rising to power again after the U.S. military withdrew from Iraq in 2011. Now, prior to that, in order for them to rise to power in the years between 2004 and 2006, what they did was they focused a lot on causing sectarian strife and tension in Iraq. So they were bombing a lot of Shia Muslims in Iraq, and we've been seeing them do that again since July. So they've been targeting a lot of Shias since July, and these figures have changed, but they've conducted roughly a dozen insurgency attacks in Baghdad, and they've killed approximately 550 Shias. So we're seeing them replicate similar strategies and tactics that they were employing as the predecessor group when they were Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Now, propaganda, shifting back again to propaganda, not only are they shifting the propaganda narrative to focus more on resistance, but they're also doing something that we haven't seen them do before. In their previous English language magazine, Der Beak, what they did was they focused more on theological justification for the acts that they were carrying out. And they were also giving very broad and general calls for attacks, very, very limited guidance. So basically, pick up any weapon and attack any Westerner by any means necessary. Beginning in October, and this is when we're seeing them lose a lot of territory and leaders, they started shifting and saying, providing their supporters with, in the West specifically, with very specific and detailed instructions, tactical instructions. So they were saying, all right, this is the specific type of knife that you have to select. These are the specific body parts you hit to cause the most damage and to kill individuals. This is the type of vehicle or truck that you need to ram more people with. So they went from use a rock or poison or anything at your disposal to the blade has to be connected to the handle type of detail. Mm.
So in 2017, does that mean for us we'll see kind of ISIS down and out, or will we see them kind of regroup and make an epic comeback?
It's hard to say, and I think many are inclined to say that they're going to just continue to decline, and I want to say that that is possibly what will happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to be cautious about over exaggerating any loss or win for the group. It's still an ebb and flow. They're still losing and gaining some small cities in Iraq and Syria, and they are losing significant territory, but keep in mind they still do hold and administer territory. They will slowly transition from being a state-building entity or state-building organization to more of a resistance group. I think it's important to realize that, yes, they're suffering setbacks, and they have proven in the past to be able to withstand these types of defeats and resurface once again. At the same time, the group is very savvy when it comes to making themselves seem bigger than they actually are. In terms of them throughout the next year, I would foresee them continuing to decline, especially with two very important offensives. So the Mosul offensive, Mosul is the biggest and strongest key territory for them in Iraq. And Raqqa is the group's de facto capital in Syria. So there's currently two offensives to retake those two cities from ISIS. And if the group, they've proven to be very difficult and they will take a very long time. But throughout 2017, if this continues, the group will continue to deteriorate.
And what are we seeing about Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS? Where has he been as of late?
So if I knew the answer to that, I probably wouldn't be here. But we have been seeing reports coming out about Baghdadi. So Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is the leader of ISIS. And we've been hearing that, you know, they're able to, they know where what his movements are, and they're able to kind of, they're closing in on him. However, I don't have any real insight into that. Whether they capture Baghdadi or kill him or not, if they do kill him, I suspect had he been killed in 2014, it may have been a different case for the group, since it was at its peak then. But now, since I think his death in conjunction with all the other losses, it will severely impact the group. Not to say they won't have a replacement in mm-hmm. place, and not to say that the group will continue without him.
And then just bringing all this back home here, what does this mean for Western operatives who had once maybe considered joining a group like ISIS and traveling to Iraq and Syria? Are we seeing less Americans travel to Iraq and Syria in response to these losses? Or do we think we will continue to see individuals acting out locally? What direction do we see the homegrown violent extremists moving in the future?
I think it's proven to be a little difficult for individuals to travel overseas to Iraq and Syria, mostly because of our counterterrorism efforts here in the United States. But also, we've also seen ISIS specifically say, hey, don't join us or don't try to travel because you're putting yourself at risk and you're no use to us when you do that. Stay home and carry an attack at home. And I anticipate if the group continues to provide such detailed instructions, we will continue to see a threat here from homegrown violent extremists. ISIS being defeated in Iraq and Syria or losing territory or leaders there may not immediately impact or cause their supporters overseas to kind of reduce their morale, for instance. I anticipate there will still continue to be a very strong threat from homegrown violent extremists in New Jersey and in the United States in the coming year. And I anticipate the same more so for Europe as well.
Great. Well, Angie, thank you very much for joining me here today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And to hear more about this year's annual terrorism threat assessment and the work by Angie Gad on the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, please visit us at njhomelandsecurity.gov or email us at intelonclass@njohsp.gov.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njhomelandsecurity.gov. If you have any ideas or topics for future episodes, please contact us on Twitter at NJOHSP or email us at intelonclass@njohsp.gov. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.